until next month. Next month, we are in person. All right. Any public comments? We have any public on? Okay. President's comments. I don't really have anything going on right now. All right, on to Jen for health officer.
All right, so hopefully you all saw in the email Karen sent out last week was the asthma presentation. It wasn't labeled that, it was labeled HE something, but that was the asthma presentation that Tessa gave last month. So if you had any questions on that, and please reach out to Tessa if you have any clients or referrals for that, or if you've thought about it or have any updates or input, you know, as to how we can better provide asthma services to our community. And there was also the August monthly report. That's the monthly report that I've been generating for the county executive, sharing with you all. And so I just wanted to pull out a couple highlights. And of course, if you have any questions, please, this is the time to, or you can email me whenever to ask me. But a couple of things I wanted to pull out, one of which was not in there because it just already happened in September, so it will actually be in the September report, but we had our monkeypox clinic on Thursday evening and got a whopping 14 people. However, our clinic has had several dozen people come in and get vaccinated. So because we're so limited to the high-risk population, obviously it's a very limited population. And we were one of the latecomers to getting the monkeypox vaccine, so I think a lot of our high-risk population from Kenosha already went to Racine or Milwaukee or Chicago to get their monkeypox vaccine. So we still have vaccine in the clinic. For anybody who walks in or makes an appointment, we're still giving it out. And Lori, I don't know if you have anything to add about monkeypox.
Nothing other than we've just had, I think we've swabbed two people down there now. So not a lot of activity.
Two confirmed cases.
Uh-huh.
And then people are still coming in to get swabbed. So we can test them. It's also nationally the statistics are pittering down. So maybe the vaccine is helping to, you know, we were preparing for the worst with it spreading throughout schools and whatnot, but it's on the downward trend. So knock on wood. In other news, our Kenosha Overdose Response Initiative, that's our mobile response team that is going to go out for opioid overdoses, is very near ready to start hitting the streets. We are signing some contracts and getting some things coordinated now to be able to contract with Oakwood for the peer support specialist, Kenosha Fire Department, and Jim Poltrock with his new LLC to come back and be able to, he's the former deputy fire chief for Kenosha, to be able to get that team out on the road. We have our vehicle, we have our business plan. If any of you would like to see that business plan, it's lengthy. I purposely didn't send it out. If you need bedtime reading to help you fall asleep, I can certainly send that to you. But it's basically the whole everything in the world about how this Kenosha Overdose Response Initiative is going to operate. On October 1st, Kenosha Human Development Services, they're restructuring. They will no longer be following up with overdose. They always would make at least a phone call to people who had experienced an overdose. They will no longer be able to provide that service. Perfect timing. We'll be able to come in. We're going to be much more mobile. It's not just going to be a phone call. We're going to be able to go to that neighborhood or that park or that gas station where we're having lots of overdoses. You know, train employees, talk to the family members, talk to friends if it was at a party or the neighborhood park or whatever it is. And so we'll be able to be much more mobile to try to help this opioid epidemic that's going on. Lots and lots of overdoses. I think we've had 20 some just in the last like 3 months or 4 months in Kenosha County. So work is very near ready to be out on the street for that. And again, if you would like that business plan, let me know and I'll share that with you as well. Or if there's ever a time, and this is general for any of our programs, I mean, you know, we have 60 programs and services, but if you're ever like how we had Tessa and asthma last month, if you're saying, hey, next month, Jen, we'd like to request XYZ program to come give an update or talk. I mean, please know that any of you can request anything and I'll see to making sure it happens. So if you'd like more details on a program or a service, we can make sure. So let us know what topics you want to hear from. Questions on that? All right. Two other updates, and then, or three other updates, and then I have a question. Our community health assessment, and I hate to keep coming to the table and saying it's still delayed. We are switching companies, switching consultants to get that online with the QR code where you all can help us push it out in the community and get it out there for people. We're just not there yet, but for the online version. But we have been doing the community conversations. We've had 4 or 5 now. We still have 4 more planned this month. This is the qualitative side of that community health assessment, gathering marginalized voices to provide feedback. And they've been going really, really good. Lots of good information that we're synthesizing. This will all feed into the results of the community health assessment and help us develop the community health improvement plan. So it's been a bit of a pain point that we're diligently working hard to move this forward, but unexpected roadblocks keep delaying it. So I'm hoping by next month we have something more for you that we can talk about sort of expectations and how we can get the community health assessment out there. So I sound like a broken record on that. It's still not out yet. I apologize. One good piece, and this has to do with the equity piece that that has been going great, is we received a Just Response grant from the state to work with our formerly incarcerated population to basically, this was a population we've never included in our community health assessment, and to really find out how was their reentry, what resources and services did they need that they didn't get. What could our department and other human services agencies be doing better to help people upon reentry into the community? Many focus groups have happened. It's going great. Lots of good data and information. This is continuing on, so we won't have results of this until December, January, which I will share with all of you at that time. And then we're also having on October 13th all of our focus groups so far have been on those who are formerly incarcerated. We're having a focus group for those agencies, entities that work with the formerly incarcerated or within the criminal justice system to ask from their perspectives as the professionals in the field of what needs improvement, what's working, what's not working. So lots of rich data will come from that. And we're super excited about that. And it's doing what public health needs to do, right, is get out there and find out about what's going on, how we can do better, and listen to the voices that aren't often heard. So lots of good work coming from that. Still don't have a replacement for our vacant seat. I am waiting for a name from the county exec, and she is reviewing and interviewing people and taking it very seriously. So more to come on that. I was sort of hoping we'd have it filled before the October meeting, but I don't think that's going to happen. So soon we'll have something there. And Dr. Foster, thank you very much. Tonight is the WALDAB, is the acronym. It stands for the Wisconsin Association of Local Health Departments and Boards. WALDAB is having a Board of Health Forum. So it's for Board of Health members all over Wisconsin to come and basically talk about, there's this massive movement called Public Health Forward. The State Health Department and WALDAB as an entity received money to host these groups that talk about public health funding, public health workforce, legal issues in public health, many, many big topics. And they would like to roll it out specifically, answer questions, roll it out to all Board of Health members so you all understand what's happening with that. Dr. Foster, thank you. We'll be sitting in on that tonight. We appreciate it very much. So hopefully, Dr. Foster, you can bring some information back next month about what you learned there. It's an open forum, and they're going to talk about everything going on with WALDAB. Dr. Gerlach, I know you sat on the WALDAB board for a while at the federal or the state level. And my question, Dr. Pritchett, in asking good questions, my question for you all today is Kenosha County, because I know, with me coming in, new administration, new board members, everybody's busy, COVID happened, there was a number of things that kept competing for our time and interests, but And Dr. Gerlach, if I can pick on you to talk a little bit about the time when you served on the WLDAP board, what I would love to see is Kenosha County getting involved in the WLDAP, you know, from a Board of Health perspective. Now, I know that's an additional amount of time of your volunteer time, which is very valuable as you're already volunteering to sit on this Board of Health. But I think what comes from the state group is many additional resources and tools, awareness of what's happening around the state. Just so you all know, as health officers, there's the Southeastern Wisconsin WLDAP. So that's the health officers from Fond du Lac and Sheboygan on down to Walworth and Kenosha, all of us in between. We meet monthly. We talk, you know, about synergies and, you know, collaborations and what we're doing because of our urban area and the needs that are unique to us and our media market. So we meet monthly, largely talking about health department operations and you know, what we're all dealing with. But the WLDAP, the Board of Health side of it, is very good for other boards of health members to get together. So my question, and I'm gonna let Dr. Gerlach talk, is what would you like to see as your level of involvement beyond just this once a month hourly meeting in the state WLDAP? And you don't have to answer it so much now, but I would love to hear your opinion right now. But Dr. Gerlach, do you mind talking a little bit about what you did and what your involvement was at the state level?
So actually my involvement was at the national level with the NALBO, which is National Association of Local Boards of Health. The national level is a little bit different in that the boards of health and the health officers are a separate organization, whereas Wisconsin is one of the few states that actually puts the health officers and the boards of health members together into one organization called WLDAP. Big parts of WLDAP and NALBO are education for board members so that they know what they're doing, what their role is. It varies from state to state. Wisconsin has advisory boards for the most part, whereas other boards are working boards where they're making the decisions. Most of those are elected people that are told that they have to serve on it. They're not as many of the appointed people like our board. So the national and the state organizations are there to help train and educate board members. They're there for advocacy. They're there to help connect people across the country, because what we're doing, somebody else may want to do, so that you're not always reinventing the wheel. It's trying to be supportive. How do we support the health officers when they were going through all of this COVID shutdown and getting threatened? And how do we become better advocates, and what we can do to work with our politicians? They do once a year. They do have a group that goes to Washington, D.C. and actually meets with the politicians. And they have advocacy training at the national level. So that's always a good thing. They do have a national conference that they put on also every year. Time-wise, being on the board isn't a ton of time from what I've had. I mean, because I was a member and I was the president. And so you're running meetings, you're figuring out what's going on, you're trying to help, you're setting up the conference. We also did town hall meetings where we would have a guest and some speakers, and those were educational for people. So you can really put in a lot of time if you want to help to do some of those things and like write for the newsletter or that, or you can be there to learn and just be supportive and help make decisions. It really varies. I think that Kenosha, with all of the things that we've done, is a good representation at the state or the national level, because we've got a lot to bring to the table. At the national level, we do try to spread it out and not get everybody from the same state. When I was going off, I did recruit, or was able to recruit, one of the former WLDAB people to go on to the national committee, national board. So I would like to keep that ball rolling. I think it's very interesting, and you learn a lot. You meet a lot of different people. So questions?
So I would love to hear from all of you. You know, certainly it's not a mandate, it's not a requirement, but what are your thoughts about the Kenosha County Board of Health? Like I said, Dr. Foster volunteered to sit in tonight to learn about, you know, these big initiatives that are happening. But what are your thoughts about Kenosha County's Board of Health participating in, whether it's the state WLDAB or the NALBO, you know, these broader initiatives, and bringing that information back that can help benefit our Board of Health in functioning and operating?
Hey, Jen, this is Jim Foster. I was out building a playhouse for my grandkids, so I look like a disaster, so that's why you can't see me. But anyway, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think at a state level, probably more. Diane has a perspective on a national, but I somewhat reluctantly agreed to tonight, mostly because nobody else rushed forward, and it actually looks very interesting. And I think it's going to have a lot of meat in it. So, I mean, if that's a little bit of a taste of what we could potentially get out of it, I mean, I think it does make sense to have somebody involved. I don't know what all's involved, but
I think there's different levels of involvement, right? Like you're going to attend tonight. That's information to bring back. There's certainly the WPHA WLDAB conference. That's the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before Memorial Day every year. I see other counties' Board of Health members at that one. There's an operational conference that happens every February that Board of Health is invited to. So you're right. It could be as little or as much as you want to put into it, as Dr. Gerlach said. Do you want to just attend something like tonight? Would you want to go to a conference? Do you want to be on the WLDAB board of directors, where you're a voting member and deciding what happens, you know, in public health? And, you know, there's all sorts of levels. And so I guess what I'm trying to gauge is your level of interest and involvement this way, or is it something that we should, do we say, hey, Board of Health, we're going to commit to doing this, and every year we'll find somebody who's going to be the liaison to the state or something? You know, I'm just trying to look for what your appetite is.
I would lean towards the latter, towards telling us somebody's got to do it and try, and especially with new members coming on, try and get them more involved. But that doesn't mean some of us who've been on a little while couldn't do it either. But yeah, I think if you just ask for volunteers, I don't know how many you got tonight for your the mentoring thing. I would have been willing to try and help, but I'm already doing the other thing. But you know, our society is getting so there's less and less community participation at a time when we need more and more. And so, I think somebody from the board should at least probably at a state level try to do something there.
I'll go ahead and speak up. I would love to have been involved in something like this, but as I wrote back to you, Jen, you know, my schedule is such that I work mornings, and then I have middle of the day empty, and then I have, which is why I can come to this, and then I work evenings. And so, you know, evening functions like that are very difficult for me to get to. And if I don't work, I don't get paid. So, you know, that's important. So I think that there are, I think it's an important thing, and it would be something that, as we look at filling other spaces on the board, that we should be able to say, you know, look, this is important. Are you going to be able to do that? And then that way we can know, you know, if we have people who are retired, then that might be something that works. If we have somebody who's, I know we have companies in town that allow people time off of their job in order to go to volunteer and do things, that might be something that we also should be, you know, kind of looking at as we are looking at filling some of the spaces here, you know. But also kind of knowing, all right, well, we're going to have this weekend thing. Well, again, if there's enough knowledge, and, you know, I plan my schedule out, you know, months in advance, if there's enough knowledge, okay, we're going to be doing this on a weekend, then that is something that perhaps I could be more available for, as opposed to necessarily an evening type of a situation. So I think, you know, kind of getting as much information as possible, and understanding that maybe we need to look at where we're getting our Board of Health members, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we have the vacancy. I think I said Juan Torres. Roger Perez Rujillo was the person who vacated. And certainly, as in the state statute, Board of Health is supposed to be representative of the community we serve. So we are certainly looking for a Latinx or Hispanic member of the community to serve on our Board of Health. And that's where I know the county executive is looking. And of course, it's an unpaid thing, right? You know, so we're really asking for you all just to be volunteers and take passion in it and provide your feedback and input when we're obviously not able to pay. So, yeah.
Jen, is it, I don't know how much input you have with County Executive Kirkman as far as like people to consider, but is that a reasonable thing to suggest to her that you'd like to see a little bit more participation? I mean, I think we've got and have had a quality board, but if folks are super busy, it's hard. And I get that. I mean, you know, so you are, not only do you want people who are interested and active, but we'll have some time to help with some of this stuff. And that, in fairness, that's different than the role we played in the past. We were pretty advisory. They just sort of came to us and said what they were going to do and had questions we could ask. But this is a different, you're kind of tilting it in a different direction, which is fine. I mean, you know, we should be able to help you out with what you need to do, but you've got to have the time to do it.
Right. For our new members, and this is where when I came to the health department, I sort of talked to the Board of Health at the time and said how it was a very passive, one-sided, the way the Board of Health was run before. We'd have several programs come in and give a presentation, and then everybody went home. And so it is an advisory board, right? It's not a governing board. The way I define advisory is I need your advice, and I want you to help direct and help you know, lead the health department and help us, you know, I see you all as the link between the health department and boots on the ground in the street, right? You know, like who, you know, the community, what is the thought of the community? And so that's where definitely I need your input from all of your varying perspectives, because you all come from different sectors and you have different lenses of who you serve and who you represent. And so I prefer the Board of Health not to just be a check the box. Yep, we met and they listened to us and then they went home, right? I would like more of your input. And so that's where I'm always teetering on how much or how little to involve you, or how much do you want or have time to read, or, you know, to get involved. And that's where I'm really needing your input, because of course I could come down and be like, read all these reports and let me know, you know, send me a whatever and go to all these meetings and whatever, right? I'm needing your input on how much or how little. And obviously I look for it to be much more active than passive.
I think I think having the information sent to us is great. I mean, I will read stuff all day long. So that, you know, that's helpful. And you know, I keep texting back questions. I think giving us plenty
of, thank you.
keep giving us opportunities, you know, like, I mean, I was able to work my schedule so that I could, you know, volunteer every week in the vaccine clinic, you know, because you needed people in the middle of the day. That was perfect for me, you know, so I could hop in and every week, you know, there I am telling people where to go, what to do. And that worked. So I can do things like that, but somebody else may have to step up if it's an evening, you know, Waldab something or other, because that's when I'm working. And so I think, you know, keep giving us the opportunities to participate. And just as Jim said, you know, yes, the change is here and I think it's good. I think most of us who are on the board welcome a change to be able to be more active participants. And just the more opportunities that there are, the more we're all able to kind of juggle our schedule and figure out how we can participate.
Thank you. I know we got the county is having terrible network issues today, so I apologize. I think you all froze right in the middle of what Julia was saying, but I think we got the gist of everything. We heard most of it. So, no, I think all of the meetings today and everybody's divisions, IT knows about it. They're trying to fix it. So just so you guys know, we're having terrible issues. Well, so I appreciate, Jim, that you're going to sit on the meeting tonight, bringing that information back. You know, I think I will continue to forward and send things to you to digest, look at. Please, please, please use that as an opportunity to send questions, feedback, you know, question back. Why are you doing it this way? What is going on? What are you not doing? You know, all of those things. And then there will be times where I give a call for help, right? Help us at our ShopCo. Help us to distribute the community health assessment. As soon as I can get that online, I'm going to have a big request of all of you. You know, get involved in our community health improvement plan next spring, you know, all of those sorts of things. So I will be very direct in what our needs are from you. And then you can always respond to that as to whether you see value in it or not, or whether you can or not. Obviously, our October meeting is going to be very budget centric. You all have to approve the budget for the health department. So we have a brand new fiscal manager. You know, we had Denise. Last year we had Jaquetta. She has been promoted. Now we have a new fiscal manager named Tracy Pelishek. Jaquetta will still largely present the budget next month in October. Tracy will be there as well. You'll get to meet her. Obviously, John Jansen, Tammy Capito, who are always there as well to answer any questions you all have about the budget. The second big thing that will be happening next month in October is that our health equity task force. Thank you, Dr. Pritchett. We were determining what's the best way to intersect the health equity task force, which is a more boots on the ground actionable task force by name, right, with what the Board of Health is doing. So we're going to have some dialogue. The members of the task force are going to come. They want to get to know you. I'm sure you want to get to know them and how we can better integrate our equity efforts between the two groups. So that is the second big thing that is happening in October, which will probably take up our whole hour. But yeah, I will continue to send out, in fact, I'll just automatically send out the Kenosha Overdose Response Initiative business plan to all of you so you can digest that and read that. And yeah, and then as these state things that come up for WALDAB, I will, sometimes I just forward like, hey, FYI, this is what's happening with the state WALDAB, but I will be a little more judicious too to say, hey, this is one I really want one of you guys to attend, or, you know, can somebody represent Kenosha County and sit on this one, kind of like tonight's kind of a big one.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah.
So could you maybe set, because it doesn't look like too many of the board members are here anyway today, but could you maybe send all of us a rough idea of what would be expected to be on that WALDAB board to represent the county?
Yes, and I actually,
yeah.
And I think they're going to share that tonight, Dr. Foster.
Okay.
So I think that's part of the question that's going to be for tonight. I'm trying to find the agenda for tonight. I'm pretty sure that's part of what they're going to try to cover tonight.
Okay. Because I don't know that, I mean, the four of us, I think there's four of us here.
There's seven of us on, only John O'Day is missing.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess most folks then know you would like some eager volunteers for that. All right.
All right. And that is all I have.
All right. Any questions for Jen? Thank you. Then on to John for corporate counsel.
Can you hear me? Am I muted or am I? I'm okay. Okay. I don't really have much. I know, Jen Freiheit, you asked me a question about the notice requirements for the for that health equity task force. I don't know if it's just that or just more general. So, and it kind of goes to how the body, the involved body was created. And also, you know, is it more of a formal action, able to create action or direction? Is it a governing type of body, or is it more of a internal workforce or work group? So I guess I'll get back to you on that question. I just wanted to let you know I haven't forgotten that. Was the question more related to generally when it's notice required, or is it specific as to the health equity task force?
Specific to that one.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, usually we err on the side of going ahead and noticing it publicly when it's kind of iffy or questionable. But other than that, I don't have much else to report this month.
We've been keeping John very busy with a whole host of other questions and things that we send him. Review this contract. What do you think about this? What do we do about this? So I feel like this past month has been a busy one of things we've been requesting of you guys.
No, yeah, it's just good to ask and good to know the answer. And I know we had another issue with the lead program recently too. So hopefully that's resolved, but always something.
Thank you. Any questions for John? Any other comments or business? Yes.
Just a quick question. Two things. COVID, school started. I personally have, I know numerous people who have just gotten COVID. There are people who did not realize that they should be going out and getting their boosters. You know, that everybody should be going and getting their boosters. Are we doing anything with the schools to kind of encourage testing? Are we doing anything with the schools to encourage boosters? The idea of, you know, it's like people have kind of decided that we're done with COVID, but COVID's not done with us. You know, what are we, you know, I keep saying, no, you tested negative. That's wonderful. Now test again tomorrow and then test again the day after, you know, because it's like they take the antigen test once and they're like, oh, it's not it. And I'm like, yeah, but you just had symptoms last night. You know, let's, you know, what are we doing? What are people doing? How can we get people to stay home? You know, all that.
$1 million question. So we just got our bivalent vaccine yesterday. The pharmacies in our county already got it like last week. We were pushed down, I guess, low on the list. So we didn't get it until just yesterday, but our clinic is now able to offer the new bivalent booster vaccine. So walk-in or appointments. Lori has something to say.
Just Pfizer though. Moderna is delayed 3 to 4 weeks.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean,
if you had Moderna from the original vaccine, you can get this one. So that doesn't matter. But so we do have that. We've been working with schools still. The testing program, the state offered to pay for schools to have their own testing, and none of our schools bit. So none of our school districts did. So that to have the actual testing in the schools. So I think a lot of people are just relying on the free antigen tests that people are getting at home. We have procured testing around the county. So we do have now at Pleasant Prairie Outlet and Salem Fire Department, a reputable company. And all of this, anytime we get a new testing site, we update the COVID website on where testing can occur. So they are now functioning as of the first week of school. We still have curative out by KUSD administration building. So we have ensured that there are COVID testing sites around the county because we do expect a surge to happen, obviously, with the kids going into school. So they're still out there, free testing, waiting for people to come. But like I said, a lot of people are using the home test, kind of like you said. And then we've asked the schools to provide surveillance. Some are, some aren't. Because it involves their office staff going in and sort of telling us, you know, okay, 20 kids are out sick today and they all reported having a cough, or it gets more difficult when it's 20 kids are out sick today. This one had a cough, this one had a rash, this one had a, you know, like to report that to us. That's the syndromic surveillance health departments are good at, but it only relies on the data coming in order to be able to surveil that. So we don't have a good handle because people are taking home tests. They aren't getting seen by a doctor. We don't have great data. The hospitals report to us how many people are hospitalized, and that's obviously the litmus test because that's, you know, number of hospitalizations and deaths are where we get really worried. And the hospitals have seen little tiny upticks, but not huge amounts, so it's manageable. So that's where we're at. We don't have great data other than anecdotally, yes, we hear everybody's getting COVID. And it's these new variants of which the old vaccine isn't working with, which is why the new bivalent is so important to get as a booster.
So
we're starting to give out the flu vaccine also.
And you can get your flu vaccine and your bivalent at the same time.
Are you all doing monkeypox vaccines?
Yeah, we had I don't know if you heard at the start, I kind of gave a report out on the mass monkeypox clinic, vaccine clinic we had last Thursday night. We didn't get a huge turnout and we're still able to provide the vaccine at our clinic. So we've had several dozen people, but it's only for those in the high risk category right now because the supply is limited. But we have a massive supply. We have no shortage. So people, as long as they fit in that high risk category, can come in and get monkeypox vaccine.
Okay, yep, I was having connection issues as well. What would be considered high risk other than the norm?
No, that's it's very explicit as far as in a nutshell. I don't have all the wording in front of me, but it's largely in the men and trans women who have sex with men, multiple partners of unknown healthcare workers that work in sexually transmitted infection clinics. It's a very limited population that can get the vaccine right now.
What's the expiration for them if you have a lot of them and the high risk folks aren't coming to get them? What's the expiration and what's the plan to use them?
Do you mean expiration of
vaccine itself?
Yes.
It doesn't expire for like probably 6 months or something. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And our plan to use it was really our larger clinics. We held a clinic last week on Thursday evening, hoping to vaccinate somewhere between 200 and 400, and we did 14. And so we were going to hold another clinic in 4 weeks, but we're not going to do that because those 14 can come directly into our clinic. And really what Jen's thought was, perhaps they had already gotten it in Chicago or Milwaukee or Racine County, because last week was our first attempt to have a clinic.
A mass clinic.
Yes.
Is there anything on the website, any shareable flyers to push out to Instagram or Facebook? Anything y'all have that we can push out?
Yeah, I can send those. We did have several social media images and we put out a press release. And because the high-risk population is so specific right now that we're allowed to vaccinate, we were working specifically with our LGBT center, the Pride president and his group, and with Vivint. So, you know, knowing that between those three agencies, we'd reach a large portion of the high-risk population who's allowed to even get the vaccine right now. So there isn't a large push to push out the vaccine publicly because it's a very limited group of people who can even get the monkeypox vaccine right now. So we're very targeted marketing to those groups.
Right. So to those organizations, however, does the marketing specifically state, hey, this is who we're vaccinating first?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we still have the AIDS Resource Center here?
So there's the HIV Partner Services in Vivint, but there is not an AIDS Resource Center here in Kenosha.
Oh, okay. I guess it's been gone for a while then.
Most of the population that's the high-risk population has either gone to Racine or Chicago or Milwaukee and got their monkeypox much earlier than we were able to get ours. Gotcha. So yeah, Julia, back to COVID, I don't know that that answers your question. Of course, we are here to serve and help out the schools and the parents and the families, but it is a different world in COVID right now.
I guess, sorry, it took me a second to unmute. I guess one of the things is knowing that we aren't getting accurate numbers. And I mean, I'm not just hearing about kids being gone, but I'm hearing about, you know, schools having 10 employees out and, you know, we're having trouble getting staff and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Knowing that we aren't getting numbers and knowing the way the CDC map changed to the green, yellow, red and the transmission and this, that and the other, you know, people are making decisions on what they should be doing based on the map, which is based on numbers, which is inaccurate because we aren't doing the numbers. And so to a certain extent, you know, I know this, you know this, you know, our clinics know this, but does the public know this? Because as I'm out talking to people, they're like, oh, but it said it was green. I don't understand why having, you know, 40 of my kids' closest friends was a bad idea. You know, and I'm just like, and I know we can only beat a drum so many times before people tune us out. But, you know, I guess I'm just kind of like trying to, I get tired of beating the drum by myself. I don't know, you know, is there something that we can do again to be like, and I don't know what it is, you know, sending out a something saying, guys, you know, get your vaccines, get your boosters, test for multiple days in a row. If you have symptoms, don't assume it's allergies, you know, all those kind of things. You know, I guess I feel like we have a chance, you know, by the vaccines being out again, you know, we can kind of come into people's spaces and say, hey, you know, this is something you can do. But while you're doing that, remember this, 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 and this. And I guess I'm just trying to say, you know, people aren't, yeah, don't seem to be aware.
So, I need your input because we put out press releases. I was just emailing Joe Patente and Leanne, our PIO, about, hey, let's get another press release out there. The trouble is, and we put out stuff on our Facebook page. I mean, like, I don't know how to get the message out there any more than we already are. And the public's willingness to listen is just not there, right? They're done with COVID until they get it, and then they suffer through it, and then they go back to work, you know? So I do think that this fall, we, you know, if I was using a crystal ball, right? I mean, don't quote me, but like, I think we're going to have another spike. It just won't be the spike where hospitals reach their, you know, bed counts, right? You know, it's, and that's where we're still getting really accurate data is on hospitalizations and deaths. You know, we have very, to the person, accurate data on each of those. So I think it's going to hit more in employment levels, right? There are going to be a number of people in every business in the country out for periods of time because everybody's going to be getting these new variants, you know, so this fall. So I just think it's going to, and then of course there'll be periods of much more little bumps because we'll have some level of natural immunity because everybody got COVID and they have variant, you know, and then, you know, so it'll, it's going to affect more economy wise with so many people being out sick this fall and winter, as opposed to what we were so concerned about was slowing down the rate of hospitalization and death, which has it mutated down? The scientists aren't going to say, but it appears it's mutated down to where it's still people are getting hit really hard and they're getting long COVID symptoms and they're having severe symptoms, but it's certainly not at the level of we're really worried about hospitalization and death. But it's also not just the common cold that people still go to work and suffer through. I mean, people were getting knocked off their feet with it, but it's, yeah. We're also getting early records of not influenza, but pneumonia. You know, we'll probably start seeing strep come back much harder, you know, like, so things are going to hit this winter in many different ways. I don't know the answer, Julia. We are willing to do whatever it takes. I think we've been hitting many walls.
Yeah, and I just an example that I can share. There was a few back to school open houses that we were asked to attend to you know, talk about asthma and do other things, and they wanted us to come and offer immunizations. And they said initially, we're not gonna advertise COVID vaccines at all. We're just gonna stay away from that. We ended up getting a group or pulling a group, a small group together to vaccinate, but they didn't advertise it at all. Because they just, there's no quarantining anymore either. So they are still screening once a child is symptomatic, but that's the extent of it.
Okay. Anything else anyone has? Then just a reminder that next month is in person, so please block your calendars off because we need a quorum for the budget and for approval of everything. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all.